Hi, thank you so much for listening to a Church in the City podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message and that it enriches and encourages you today, and that it can serve towards fulfilling our mission of empowering a movement of passionate Jesus followers.
So, some of you have met my oldest, Tristan. He is in school in DC. I get in trouble when I say he lives in DC because he's like, no, mom, I do not. I live with you. So I don't know what that is. He doesn't want to be associated with certain things. Sometimes I don't blame him. But so anyway, when he was little, Tristan has always been the most literal person, except for at some point something snapped in him and he became the most sarcastic person. But I don't know where that came from, but when he was little, he was very, very literal about everything. And it was so irritating. So I remember one day I said to him, I said, Tristan, pick your toys up and put them in your room. Like I was frustrated. There was toys all over the house. And so just a little while later, whatever, I'm walking down the hallway and I walk by his room and here's the doorway to his room. And here are all of his toys in his room. Right inside the doorway, right? Because he literally made sure he did that. Why do I tell you this? I think there's some Tristan in some of our graphics department. So I sent an email. I was a good girl. I did it like a week early. Susie must have been so proud of me. She's not, because normally she's like, hey, where's your stuff? But it was a week early. And I said to them, I said, you know, here's kind of what I want to share on. Here's kind of what I'm thinking. And I said, you know, you can do whatever you want to with the graphic, but like, it'd be kind of cool to have like this looming dark cloud. I said, as if someone was standing in a field watching a storm roll in and they would say something out loud like, shoot, dang, that's ominous. So they got it. Very literally, and I love it, and I think it's amazing, and I love that it's a cowboy, and it's, yeah, it's perfect. So that's our team, and we're very blessed with our team. Seriously, we have amazing, this church family is unbelievable. So much more than, you know, people ask sometimes, this total rabbit trail, but people ask sometimes, you know, like, did you ever dream this? Did you ever dream you guys would have a building? Did you ever dream? Did you ever wish? Did you ever? No. And, you know, I'm kind of glad because it's almost like this whole thing that we've all been on together, this journey, this family that's been sort of creating itself. I'm so glad I had nothing in my mind because this is so much better than anything I could ever come up with. Am I right? Anyway. All right. That's free. So I want to talk this morning. You guys, anyone who's been around long enough knows me, knows that I can't talk about anything. I'm not a very good teacher. I'm more of just someone who likes to share experience in my life, whether it's something I'm in the middle of or have gone through or I'm facing or whatever it is. And so today's no different. And so the reason why, you know, it was easy for me to start getting my stuff over to the team so early is because God's just been really, these last couple of weeks, just getting in very deep inside of me and talking to me about what's going on right now in my life. And as many of you know, Kevin and I are going through a lot of transition personally. And a lot of times those external circumstances, right, are a reflection of things that are going on internally too. We all kind of go through those types of things. And sometimes the one happens before the other. Sometimes it's in reverse, but we're all walking life out. And here's the truth. I've been going through some stuff. Anybody going through some stuff? Anybody? It's kind of what I thought, because God usually brings like-minded people together. That's part of family, right? As we gather together because we feel a kindred heart, a oneness. And so I've been going through some things. So I mean, I thank you for those of you that have reached out to me these last couple of weeks and encouraged me and prayed for me and, you know, share things that God's placed on your heart, because it's all been amazing. It's been encouraging to me. It's been uplifting. Sometimes when I go through things, I just need a reminder that God sees me. I often feel like Noah. Like, I don't know if you ever read through Noah, like he's out on the ark. And then at one point in scripture, it says, and God remembered Noah. Like, he was like, oh, shoot. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of took a couple days off because all he had was the six to worry about. So he'd like took a nap, or I don't know. I'm just kidding. Obviously, that's, you know, not in line with everything else in scripture, but sometimes I feel that way, right? Like, he just, you know, so those prayers, those thoughts, those, you know, words, all of it has been a reminder to me that God's been like, hey, I'm paying attention. I see you. I'm working, I'm moving. Let me remind you through my family. Cause I believe God loves to use people. Again, not something I would have done, but that's how he works. He likes to work through people. He likes to incorporate, you know, I always think of Paul, you know, when he became Paul, he's on the road to Damascus as Saul. You know, Jesus knocks him off his horse. He's blinded, you know, and he has this revelation, comes face to face, whether that's a vision, whatever it is, he's face to face with Jesus, right? And then what does Jesus do? Sends him to the church, sends him to the believers, right? So I only say that to say, if God's putting somebody on your heart, pray for them, reach out to them, encourage them. It's been the thing that's been getting me through these last few months. So thank you. Thank you for that. You know, and maybe part of this, I don't know where your struggle's at. You know, a lot of people raise their hands. Maybe part of it is where I'm at, to where I'm like, God, there's some dreams in my life. There's some promises in my life. There's some things that I've been holding on for and believing for. And maybe it's time that I let them go. Maybe it's time I lay them down. Maybe it's time I forget about them, because I sure don't see you moving in this area. I sure don't understand what's going on. And, you know, it seems like it's been a long time. It seems like, you know, whatever the thing may be. I was even thinking this morning of that story of the virgins. You know, it's always been one that's kind of confused me a little bit, because here you have all these women that are waiting for the bridegroom and they all have oil in their lamp, but they all fall asleep. So I'm like, man, it seems like they should all kind of be in trouble, but only half of them get in trouble. And anyway, I've always been kind of confused, but I was even just thinking about that, just even thinking of the fact that faith, you know, the church has taught for so many years that faith is quantity, and I don't believe it to be quantity. I believe it to be longevity, right? That's the faith that's talked about in scripture, is faith that keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, not faith that's a lot. And so to me, like, I kind of look at that story and kind of wonder sometimes, is that really what the issue is? Is that these women only prepared for their promise for this long instead of preparing for however long it took? Because if the promises of God are yes and amen, and if they're good, and if he's for you, and if he has plans and purposes for your life, why do I care how long it takes to get there? What could be better? What else could I want? What else could I desire? What else could I be going after? And if he's gotten to this point to where he said, well, we're going to change that, that's not what we're doing right now. Jamie, where you're at in your life, this very day that you're living, you're going to live this day every day for the rest of your life, like Groundhog Day. If that's what he decided, why would I complain about that? But I don't think it is. And I don't think you think it is either. But we want to quit. We want to doubt. We want to wonder. We want to try to figure things out. And I think far too often, I think that, you know, his promises are discovered by Jamie instead of walked out step by step. So I think somehow I got to play a part. I got to like he left me like a trail of clues. And as long as I can find them all, then I can have all of it. And God's more saying, no, I said, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And instead of looking down, trying to figure out where I'm going, because maybe there's a dark spot as I'm walking toward the promises of God, I'm like going like this, like, what's going on around here? Oh, you know, and God's saying, no, daughter, stay the course, keep going. I think often of one of my favorite books is C.S. Lewis's The Horse and His Boy. If you've ever read it, if you've not, I don't care what people say, it's hands down one of the best Chronicles of Narnia books, in my opinion. It's slow moving, so maybe that's why I gravitate toward it. I'm kind of slow moving, ask my parents. So anyway, and I've told this story here 100 times, but like I the best part of the story is it's a whole story of the four children and is their time that they're in Narnia and they're seated on the throne and they're battling and doing all these kinds of things. And this boy ends up on this journey with a horse. Yada, yada, yada. It's the very end of the story. He's making his last march up to speak to the king. And he encounters again Aslan on the path, who is, you know, C.S. Lewis's figure of God, right? And it's dark and it's treacherous and he's mad at Aslan because all these things that have happened in the book, right? He misses all the, he forgets all the good things. I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. He forgets all the things, all the workings. He forgets the fact that Aslan was there when he left his captor. He forgets all of these things, but he sees stuff like, you know, Aslan, like kind of pulling one of his friends back and scratching her back. And he remembers all these things. And so he's mad at Aslan because he knows more than the lion does. And, none of us ever act like that, but. So they're walking along and it's getting dark and he is just laying into this lion about all the stuff that he did wrong and all the things that are wrong. And while he's talking, the lion, Aslan says to him, "Hey, put your hand on my back while we're walking, because it's getting dark. Put your hand on my back and walk with me." So he puts his hand on the lion's back and walks with him all the way up the mountain. So the next day he gets the king, they rally, they get on the horses, they ride down, they're going to go do the very thing, like the, you know, the highlight of the story. And as he's coming, I can't remember if it's when he was coming down the mountain or going back up, irrelevant, all of a sudden he realizes the stretch of road that he was walking along was the only thing that was between him and the cliff was that lion. So all through his griping, all through his stuff, all of that, God's just like, hey, let me be your guide. Why am I sharing all this? I believe that we're in a very important time in our lives right now, that it's very important. I'm going to use the word important as many as I need to. It's very important that we remember the God we serve, that we remember the things that he's done, that we remember where he's taken us from, that we remember the promises that he's had. We remember the things that we've seen. We remember who he's proven himself to be. Maybe you're saying, "I'm someone new to the faith. Like, I don't have that history. You know, I don't have those scars. I don't have that. This is all new to me." Okay, then get around people who do. Get in the word. You will see time after time after time example of who he is, how he behaves, what he's known to do, the fact that he's true, that he's just, that he's good, that he's for you. Okay, this is his heart. His passion is for you. And far too often we come to this place where we forget the goodness of God because we see some bumps along the way. We look down the path that we're never made to see the how of. And we look down it instead of paying attention to who we're walking with. We're trying to figure out where we're going or how much is left. How much is left? I don't want, this is taking too long. This is what I constantly keep saying. It's taking too long, God. And he's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were an expert." I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "That's interesting. Because when I went before you and I saw the thing already done, I don't remember seeing you already there. I remember us going on that journey together." Interesting. You know, but I act like some person who seems to have it all figured out. I was talking to the Lord about some of this. I was making some notes. I met with my coach, kind of trying to get some perspective on some things that I had, and just kind of said, "Hey, I need some process points. I'm very good at ignoring things. So I need someone to tell me, here's what you're ignoring. Let's pay attention." And so he kind of gave me some things and I was kind of meditating with the Lord on it. And God showed me in myself in scripture. Are you ready for this? He showed me a couple places, but this is the first one. He said, Psalm 78. So a lot of the Psalms are David's songs or the worship team, or I'm not really sure. I'm not even going to pretend to try to understand any of that, but they're written by some people. And there's a lot of it just constantly talking about the goodness of God, the character of God, the nature of God, the promises of God, the human struggle approaching God, right? There's a lot of that. And that's why, you know, someone like myself, I love it. There's a lot of humanity in the Psalms, right? And so in Psalm 78, the writer is talking about, you know, make sure you tell your kids what God's done. Make sure you tell people around you what God's doing. Make sure you tell the stories of your parents and their parents and their parents. Make sure you're doing this. And he says, he commanded our fathers that they were to teach them to their children so that the generations to come would know and the children yet to be born, that they would arise and them to their children. So he's saying, like, pass it on, so that they would put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but comply with his commandments. So we remind ourselves, we talk to one another, we keep it in the forefront of our mind. We're constantly thinking about the goodness of this God who is trustworthy, who is true, who is for us, who is not against us, who is working on our behalf, who has done all these incredible things. And he said, and do not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The sons of Ephraim were archers. They were equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law because they forgot his deeds, his miracles, and the things he had shown them. So you say, well, how did you find yourself there? Because God, this is what God spoke to me a couple weeks ago when I was sitting by myself and just processing all these things with the Lord and some of the homework that I was given by my coach and also by my husband, who can be a good coach, sometimes welcome, sometimes not. And one of the things was that before I was going to see the promises of God, these things that I've been believing for, is I had to understand that I was worth them. And so that was what my homework was to sit with. And so I was talking to the Lord, and then he shows me this scripture. I'm like, well, thanks for affirming, you know? And he's like, no, Jamie, the sons of Ephraim were archers equipped for battle. That's who they were. They were prepared. They had the tools. They knew what they were supposed to do. This is the very thing they were made for, was to go into battle. And the battle came. And they walked away from who they were because they didn't remember who God was. They didn't remind each other. They were not sure that he was the one that was going to carry them through. They shrunk back. And scripture literally spells it out. And it says, because they forgot who God was. They stopped. They stopped proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. And I realized that I need to start calling a spade in my life. I spend so much time trying to analyze and figure things out and write stuff down and maybe God, and let me look into scripture and see if I can find this, instead of just going, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Because I have a lot of circumstances in my life right now, and I know a lot of you do too. I know stuff that's going on with all of you, and most of you raise your hands. We've got these little like mini tornadoes like swirling around us everywhere we go, and they're all like around us, and God's saying, okay, hold your lamp out. Let my word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And that's how I'm called to navigate. And as I do that, he's right here. And we're talking about his goodness and his faithfulness and his promises and his truth and his blessings. And here's the thing, the promises of God have him at the center and they have humanity on their mind. I mean, you look at the promise that was before Jesus. So far, 117 billion people. That's what was on his mind. And I don't know how long the world's going to keep producing and populating, but that's where we're at right now. That's the estimate. That's a little bigger than some of the stuff that I'm believing for. And yet he went before the Lord, he went before the Father, and he said, Father, I don't see it. I don't understand how this is going to be. I don't really care for this path because it leads to a horrific, gruesome, awful death. But not my will, yours. Because I know you to be trustworthy, I know you to be faithful, I know who you are, and I know you will not leave me. To me, that is the single greatest promise God ever gave me. I'll never leave you. I don't care about anything else, but sometimes I forget that I don't care about anything else. You know, I find myself realizing that any situation, any circumstance that I'm facing, that I'm not looking at it and I don't see the awe and wonder of the creator of heaven and earth, whose eyes and attention and heart is fixed on me. I have idolized, I have become deceived, I have given into doubt, and I've participated with doubt, because there's no way you can look at the King of Kings and not marvel and awe and be in wonder and amazement. And if that's not something that we want to do when we're looking for our promises, I got news for you. Stop being a believer, because that's eternity. Is standing in the presence of the King of Kings, marveling and awing and being in his presence. So why am I looking for anything else? I want to be looking for him in this. And this promise that I have in my life, this thing, this bow that he gave me to do, is something that we're doing together. And I get to awe and marvel at him, and he gets to show off, and he likes to do that. He likes to show off. Think about how the Lord first drew you into his heart. It was something that was personal for you. It was intimate for you. And he's got plans and purposes for all of us, that along that journey and along that path, we get to be that voice and that light and that one calling in the night to someone and bringing them into this place where they get to hear him say for the first time, I'm never going to leave you. It's so beautiful. But these things he's planted inside of you, he's not sadistic. He's not putting passion and heart and fuel inside of you just to watch you be in turmoil. He wants to walk it out with you. He wants to enjoy it with you. I mean, he's a father. I love when my kids get excited about something, especially when it's something that I can come in and like bring to pass and I get to be a part of it. And he's so much better than me. He's so much better than you. These promises, these plans that he has for us, they're so good. And as long as I rely on my resources and what I have, as long as I be an archer at the battle line with my bow and everything is reliant on me and what I see and how it's all going to work out, I might as well retreat. I don't want to go into that without him. That's not a good place to be. And yet he says, I'm with you. I'm never going to let you go. I am going before you. Read Psalm 103 in your life. Read it day in and day out this week. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. I love that. Most of the songs we sang this morning, the word, it's about all, everything I am, everything I'm believing for, all of it. Everything is his. And I want to offer it up to him. I don't want to keep holding on to it because I think I want something. I want to walk in these promises side by side with the King of Kings. Because some of these things that we're walking out, you might still see, but you're only going to see it this much. You're not going to see it to the fullness if we're not walking with God all the way through to the end. Why do we want to stop short of the things that he's promised us? Why do we want to give into doubt? Why do we want to give into unbelief? Why do we want to give way? Here's the thing that God said to me. He said, Jamie, your problem does not exist in what you're believing for, the strength of your faith, but it exists in the strength of your unbelief. That's where your problem is. You give so much fuel, so much weight, so much voice to your unbelief. Well, maybe I screwed it up. Maybe I was supposed to, my dad and I joke about this a lot. Maybe I was supposed to turn left when I turned right. I probably have 100 left turns in my life. That's why I'm like this, you know? And, you know, maybe that's your voice. That's a big one for me. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Screwed up the promises of God. Interesting. Didn't know they relied on me. Okay. But here I am taking credit for everything again, right? And so I'm glorifying my doubt. I'm glorifying my unbelief by giving it attention and merit and worth and testimony. I give so much testimony to the things that are screwed up in my life, to the people that supposedly have power over me that don't. If God wants something in my life, there's not a person in this room, there's not a person on this planet that can stop it. And if I'm walking with him, we will see doors kicked down and things happen and seas part and all the stuff that we read about in scripture and we've seen in one another's lives. This is why we have to remind ourselves. Because otherwise you forget. Look at the Israelites. Look at all they walked through. The plagues, the parting of the sea, the manna, all of it. And still, they forgot. They forgot the goodness of God. And every time they would line back up and denounce their disbelief, denounce unbelief, denounce their doubt, and hold true and say, God, I trust you. I know your promises are yes and amen. And even if I die without seeing this come to pass, it will come to pass. There's plenty of people about that too. If you read through Hebrews, right? Talks about Daniel who was delivered from the lion's den and talks about Abraham, the founding father of our faith, who got to see his son, but he didn't get to see the generations to come, right? That was fruit after. But it also talks about those who believe to the point of being cut in half. Where's my belief at? Is it a sum? Is it a bucket of my doubt? Because that's not going to produce any fruit. You guys doing okay? When I'm not proactively taking place with the tree of life, which is where this all began. They were supposed to participate in the tree of life, right? Which is that figure representation of Jesus. They were supposed to commune with that. When I start to want to know, when I start to want to know, when I start to want to understand, when I start to want to conceive and predict and maybe fabricate or whatever it may be, then that's when all of a sudden I'm communing and having conversations with a serpent. I'm doing that. That's on me. And I believe that, you know, we want to sit and say, well, why did God do that? He should have just put the tree of life and not the other things in there. Really? I don't know. Again, I feel like his perspective is a little bigger than mine. I need to be communing with Jesus. I need to be talking to him just constantly. I met with a friend this week and she just said that to me over and over. She just said, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And that's where I'm at right now with these things that I'm believing for, because I think I have knowledge and understanding of how it's all going to walk out. And some of it is so much bigger than what I can even conceive. But even at that, it all is rubbish compared to the plans and purposes that he has for my life, for our lives together. He has so much for his church. He has so much for us. And it's time that we stop owning the trash bags that we've all been carrying around and blaming this society around us for the condition that our country is in, and understand that most of it is because I'm sitting around with my little bucket of doubt and I'm trying to get mine. And this is not what the church is called to do. We're called to do things to where people are like, do not mess with them. Those are the people of God. I mean, this is what the scriptures, they said about the Israelites. They were like, be careful. God's on their side. Watch out. We don't believe that God. We don't worship him, but watch out for those people. My life's not always demonstrating that, but I want it to. Right? We are called to be earth shakers. I mean, why do we so flippantly read the scripture in Peter that says we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God? I mean, if this was like in earthly terms, we'd all be driving like Bugattis and taking helicopters everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? And people would be like, oh, that's an oil prince and princess or whatever, you know, however super wealthy people ride around. I don't know. But you get what I'm saying? Like, it's obvious. There's always this aftermath. And in my life, a lot of times, like I've found myself these last few weeks, like just being negative and condescending and like looking for fault anywhere I can just to try to like justify my doubt. My doubt needs to go, and I need to stand firm on who God is, what he said, and what he's going to do. Amen. I don't know. I hope that encourages you. The band can come up. Dreams and visions and destiny that we're called to walk out, they're waiting on the other side of this for us, you guys. They're waiting for us. God's promises are true, and they're yes, and they're amen. But if I decide to take my posture and go on the defense and just put up this flag and this shield that says, I'm just going to stand here, and I'm going to hold this up, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens, we're not going to be able to take the ground that God's called us to. We're not going to be able to go into the places. It's my duty. It's my honor to make sure that my lamp is full of oil. And I am like bringing people everywhere I can into this place and telling them that God has a purpose and a plan for them. And it will come to pass. I can't tell you timing. I can't tell you that. Maybe you're believing for healing. I can't tell you how, when, where it's going to happen. I can't tell you if it's going to happen on this side of glory or not, but I can tell you that God's good and that he's for you and he wants to see you healed. But again, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you and act like I've got all that figured out, because I don't. I don't have provision figured out for you. I don't have God's promises, his future. Maybe you're praying for a spouse. Maybe you're praying for your kids. I can't tell you the how and why of any of that. I can't tell you, I could never look at Abraham and say, this is how you're going to be the father of many generations. God doesn't share how with me. Maybe he shares how with you. Most of the time he doesn't share how with me. He just says, let's walk together. Let's be together. Let me tell you of my love for you. Let me take you on a journey that you would never, ever have imagined. It's so much greater. I've shared a little with you, my daughter. Let me share more. Let me tell you more. Let me tell you more. And I believe this morning he's calling us, some of us, to come out of the place of doubt and into the place of abundantly dreaming. Not just out of doubt to going, okay, maybe I'll believe again. But here's what I found myself in the last couple of weeks is that I have actually gotten to a place of denying and denouncing the promises and dreams of God, because I thought at this point, if they haven't happened, they're probably not going to. Those are wasted. They're gone. And God's like, no, I'm going to do that and more, Jamie. I'm not bound by time. I have no limitations. I'm not scared of anything. Let's go. So I want to encourage us this morning, take his hand, repent for doubt. I'm sorry if that statement bothers you. It's in scripture. Repent for your doubt. Say, God, I trust you. I believe you. I will go forward. I do not care how long it takes. I will believe in the things that you have called me to, and I will see them come to pass. And remind yourself of where he has taken you, what he has done. And if you don't know what God's in the middle of doing, maybe you've forgotten what you guys dream about, whatever it is, just put yourself before the Father. Put yourself and say, what do you want me to know? I'm in this circumstance. I'm in this situation. I want to doubt. I'm not going to do that anymore. So instead, I'm going to come to you, the author, the architect of my destiny. And I'm going to say, what do you want me to know right now? And what do you want me to do? And that's all that matters. The rest of it doesn't matter. Just walk with him. Just be with him. Allow him to share with you his heart. Amen.
I want to thank you again for listening to this episode of A Church in the City. If you could use prayer for anything in your life, we would be honored to partner with you. Send us an email to prayer@dccgr.org. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend so that we can fulfill our mission of empowering a movement of passionate Jesus followers. Before you go, a quick reminder about our fundraising for the Roots Project. You can get involved in a bunch of different ways by going to achurchinthecity.org/miraclegrow. Thank you, and God bless you. We'll see you next time.